Last Sunday, you were very gracious and gave Marsh and I a gift certificate, kind of marking our many years here, 28 years here. But you also then helped me out by bringing blankets and crackers. As you know, I go to the park to give those out. You brought in 48 blankets this year. Yeah, 48. That's a lot. You guys did good. So I'm giving out a lot of blankets for Christmas gifts this year. So if you... No, I'm not. No. But on Tuesday, I went to the park, and I was able to give out 18 blankets on Tuesday. That's the most I've ever given at one shot. I mean, it was... nobody was out because it was kind of chilly that day. And so I thought, well, I know some of the guys that hang out in the library. So I went to the library, and I met a couple guys and talked to them. Oh, I don't need one, but I might know somebody. And they went in and got some others, and I got some others. By the time I got to the car and I'd opened it up, you thought I had fake Rolexes. I mean, it was just like people coming around, you know, and it was great. I ran out. Matter of fact, I had to come back and get some more. But it was neat. There was a lady parked next to me. And she and her friend had just probably been eating at Tempo or someplace, and they're getting ready to get in the car, and she said to me, she says, you know, just Lord bless you, you know, for what you guys are doing. And then one of the homeless guys I'd given crackers to her said, would you like some crackers? And she said, no, I'm okay, but, you know, it was a neat experience, because they were very thankful for what they got. Well, let's check out another guy who was really thankful, and it's in our text in Luke 17, a very familiar passage to you, starting at verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looked at them and he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, a common disease here, leprosy. In disorder. And so they're there. They have to stand off to the side, as you remember. They couldn't be around. They couldn't be with their families. They couldn't hug their children. They had to stand off as they were shunned. And they would keep a distance, and then they would have to cry out, unclean, so nobody would come near them. And so they see that Jesus is coming down here, and so now they're crying out, you know, have mercy. And so Jesus simply says, well, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that's what you do. That's the idea that you do for the law. That priest was kind of like the doctor, you know, and if he said, you're clean, man, that did it. So just go show yourself to the priest is what they were supposed to do. And so what do? They just do it. They just simply obeyed. And as you know, the text says, as they went, they were healed. They weren't healed first. You heal me, then I'll go check it out. No, as they went, that's when they were healed. But you notice that thanksgiving there in verse 15. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this was a Samaritan. Wow. Well, let's pray. Father, as we come to this text this morning, help us to have some good insight to our need of thankfulness. Because we have to confess, Lord, there are times we're not very thankful. We'd rather grumble and complain. We'd rather see what we don't have than what we do. And that's wrong. So help us from this, your word, to once again think about thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we come to Thanksgiving time, and it is a time of thankfulness. We're all thinking about that, and there are lots of reasons to be thankful. But this morning, I just want to give you 5 reasons to thank the Lord. So if you have your bulletin there or your program, you might want to fill these blanks in. It kind of helps you keep track of where I'm trying to go. All right? So the very first one that you'd fill in is, thank the Lord for what we have. Okay? So easy enough. Fill in the blank. Thank the Lord for what we have. In James chapter 1, starting at verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." In other words, he says, don't you guys get it? Everything that you have is from the Lord. And you say, oh, I work hard and I do this and I do that. And he says, you know what? Everything you have is really from God. And he says, so you need to kind of think that. And we have so much. You know, you can just Google things to be thankful for. And let me just give you a list of them. He says here, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing and windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I'm capable of walking. My huge heating bill, we'd say air conditioning bill, because it means I'm warm or because I'm cool. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means that I can hear. The piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means I'm alive. Weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. And then an oldie but a goodie for me is this one. A Sunday school teacher asked her class what they were thankful for. And one little boy says, I am thankful for my glasses. When asked why he was thankful for his glasses, he said, because they keep the boys from fighting with me and the girls from kissing me. There you go. You know, most of us have homes. And cars, and clothes, and food. And yet, I'm afraid sometimes we're like the nine. And we're not really very thankful. We just have it. In 1 Timothy 6:8, since we entered the world penniless and will leave it penniless, if we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that's enough. You know what Paul's saying? Guys, it's enough. Be thankful. Be thankful that you can do that. Be thankful you can come here. Thankful that you drove here or walked, were able to walk here. You know, so much to be thankful for. One of my mom's very favorite verses was out of Proverbs 30, last part of 8 and verse 9. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. You know, maybe it's because we have so much. We've been blessed so much that we've forgotten to say thanks. You see, when you're in these other countries, like Marshall was in West African places, they get some little thing, and man, it's really a big deal. For us, we have so much, I'm afraid we've lost that value, that sense of thankfulness. So this morning, I want you to be thankful for something that you have. And I want you to do that today, okay? I want you to tell the Lord thank you for something that you have. Your house, your meal, whatever, okay? All right, number two, thank the Lord for people. Fill that one in. Thank the Lord for people. Take a moment, just look around at the people sitting next to you or around you right now who are in here, because these are people who will pray for you. They will care for you. They will love you. They will encourage you. They really will. These are people that will be part of your family if you let them. I've called on several of you. You know, I had a need, a problem, whatever. You guys are so quick. You know, do that. Hebrews chapter 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be maybe hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's great to have people around who encourage you, isn't it? Isn't it great to have great people that encourage you? You know, playing sports, if you're up there and you're batting and you're missing it, you know, and you hit one, man, that's really great. It's not poor. Yeah, you finally hit one out of five, you know. No, you know, that you need to encourage one another. It's a blessing. Not tearing down. It's easy to tear people down. And it's easy to say cutting remarks. That's nothing. Anybody can do that. Be an encourager, you know. Be an encourager to somebody. We all need encouraging. And he says to do that. So it's great to have those people around you. I want us to be thankful for the people who started this church. A few of you are here this morning, maybe, that were sprinkled in that group. But and their faithfulness to God, stepping out to do that. The finances that they poured. You know, the thankfulness for our heritage that we have. The people who have gone on before us. And a lot of you can think of a lot of people in this church who've gone on to heaven ahead of us. But we're great instrumental pillars in this church. God, thank you for those folks that were here. Thank God for some mentors in your life. You know, some people who've made a difference. Marsha, I'll tell you a couple I had in seminary. Dr. Chadwick and Dr. Matthews were just really influenced me in some really very positive, in some good ways. So if you don't have somebody in your life like that, get someone. And be that in somebody else's life, you know? That's kind of important about people. Be thankful for our parents. And if our parents have gone on to glory, we're thankful for them. Be thankful for them. Be thankful for parents who encouraged you and loved you and put up with you or still do. You know, be thankful for our parents who prayed for us. Be thankful for our spouses. I was wondering if I was going to get any yep or amen, or is this kind of a look at, oh, gee. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. And that's Marcia to me. That is. You see? And every day I thank God for Marcia. He brought her into my life. We need to do that. We need to thank God for those people. Thank God for our children, you know, and our grandchildren. Man, I do that daily. I know you do too, but we need to do that. Psalm 127, verse 5, children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Thank God for your extended family, you know, the extended family. But thank God for good friends. Some of you in this church are just really good friends for me. And well, we need to thank God for good friends, people they bring into your life, you know? Sometimes we just don't. We take it for granted. We just kind of go around our way. But this is a time to be thankful. God, thank you for people you've put in our lives. Thank you for those good friends, those relationships, those encouragers. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Now listen, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And we're not perfect. But boy, we can encourage and love one another. And let me just put this into, give that person the freedom to be who God wants them to be. How God has wired them. How God has gifted them. Don't try to control them, to make them the way you want them to be. But enjoy the relationship because they really are important. So thank God for people in your life. Number three, thank the Lord for who he is. For who he is. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. See, he is worthy of all of our thanks. He is worthy. Psalm 100, verse 3. I like this translation. Know this, God is God and God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because all of us, we try to make God in our image, you know. No, that's not what it says. Psalm 139, verse 13. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. He knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head, right? And he knows the color of your hair and what it should be and what it is. He knows those things, right? He knows the color of eyes you have. He knows your heart. He really knows you. He knows the details of your life. He knows things that no one else knows. Nobody knows. But he does, and he loves you. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. And folks, if you get nothing else, understand, you matter to him. You really do. You matter to him. And here's the good part. He's still working on us. He's still working on us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, God's not satisfied with your temper and your weaknesses, you know, towards sin. He's not satisfied. He wants you to, you know, work on those things. That's great. And that's why he's not finished yet. He's still knocking off the old edges, right? And still honing us to be like Christ. We might be conformed to his image, he says in Romans. He's moving us that way. And one day, we'll see him face to face. And that's when that day will be complete, in the completion to the day of Christ Jesus. On that day, all of our weaknesses, all of our tendencies towards sin, there'll be no more insecurities, there'll be no more hurts, there'll be no more pain. But right now, that's then, right now, he's cheering you on. And he's saying, take each step with purpose. And I'm there. I want to encourage, I'm going to cheer you on. That's who he is. So we can know him as what? Creator and redeemer and savior and sustainer and all-powerful and all-knowing, ever-present, provider, protector, and yonder. Thank him. Sometime today, thank him just simply for who he is. Take that moment. God, just thank you for who you are. What an awesome God you are. Not a God who gets mad at me one moment and happy with me the next. You're for me. I matter to you. You made me. You're cheering me on. God, you want the best for me. You don't want me to get caught up in all the gutter stuff of life. Man, this is what you've got. Thank him for who he is. Fourth, thank the Lord for what he does. For what he does. He provides a way to put us in a right relationship with a holy God. You see, the difference in the church is that we have something no one else has. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a way to be made right with a holy God. Now, we do coffee and donuts, but you can get coffee and donuts at Starbucks or any other place. It's no big deal. We have great people singing, and we love that, but you can get singing on any CD. We have a time of fellowship and a sense of oneness. You can get that probably at some taverns and bars, probably. What really makes the difference is that you can be made right with a holy God through Jesus Christ. The church can offer salvation through Christ. Purpose and meaning in life through him, you see. That's different than a social club. And that's what we need. That's what mankind needs, is a relationship with Christ. He goes on in Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb. That sounds like we just sang about. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. He forgives our sin, and then what's he do? He adopts us into his family. He gives us purpose and meaning and life, full meaningful life now and heaven one day with him forever. That's pretty good. Ephesians 4:22-24. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on your new nature, created to be like Christ, truly righteous and holy. There's a comparison chart, and we're going to just I'm just going to zip through it real quick. But what you just put off, and then what you put on. Now, because of the cross, Jesus dying for our sins, we can put off the old man. But because of the resurrection, newness of life, we can put on the new man, okay? So that's kind of how that balances out. And so here's a put off, put on scenario, the opposites, okay? So the Bible says to put off selfishness. But now this is interesting because the opposite of selfishness is love. Isn't that interesting? It's not unselfishness, it's love. So put off selfishness, put on love. Put off despair, then we put on joy. Put off anxiety, we put on, you could guess, peace, right? Put off hopelessness, we put on hope. We put off doubt. And he says we put on, just like we talk about the armor of God, putting on, praying it on, we put on hope. You know, we put on trust instead of doubt. Unbelief becomes faith. Lust, we put off lust in the things we're thinking there, and we put on purity. Put off pride, we put on humility. Put off pretense, you put on honesty. You see how that goes? So thank God that in Christ there is freedom and there is purpose and there is fulfillment and there is new life. You don't have to live in the old. We put on the new because we're new people in Christ. You see how that works? So we daily do that. So God, thank you for what you've done and what you are doing in my life today, because you're not finished with me yet. And lastly, number five, thank the Lord that he reigns. Aren't you glad of that? Man, that he reigns. Because of that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. You could do it because God is on the throne. That's why we talked the other day about Paul in the Philippian jail, that he could sing. You know, and that was a crummy jail. And he's back in the stocks, and it's back, and it's nasty, and all that. And he's singing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, because God, this life's short. It doesn't matter. I want to live my life the best I can. I want to honor you, God. But you know what? This isn't my home. And it won't be long for any of us in this room that we'll be seeing him. Because he says, he's unworthy. Now, there is a warning about being unthankful, right? A warning. Back to the beginning, chapter 17. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The price of unthankfulness is very high. It really is. You see, as a follower of Christ, we cannot ignore God's rights. We cannot ignore his sovereignty, his grace, his loving kindness endures forever. We can't ignore that without losing touch with the one on whom our very life depends. You ignore that, you're out of touch with who God is. And let me tell you, your life, my life, this life depends on him. And you lose touch. So we don't want to do that. We want to be thankful. And as that thankfulness becomes ingrained in who we are, I think you kind of get a play out of Matthew 5:16, when he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, it's important that we see here, it's really not about the worshiper, but it's about who we worship. And sometimes we think it's about us. It's not this for me. It's not that for me. It's not, you know, sometimes we get it. It's about us. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about worshiping God. It's about coming before his presence with joy and thanksgiving. And as we let our good deeds show in our lives and in our words and in our attitudes and in our actions, then what happens? Then people are drawn to Christ, you see. That's because they see that being lived out, and it draws them there. But we got to live it. We got to put these five things into practice in our lives. Jesus has done it all. He's not asking you to do a lot, just be thankful. He's done it all. Why? So that we might know him, have our sins forgiven, that we might enjoy him today, and live with him forever. You know, he's done that. So this morning, I just want you to think about coming to him in a real sense of thankfulness. Because we truly have a lot to be thankful for. Much to be thankful. Don't we? We really do. So this morning, I just wanted you to kind of think through those five things. I hope you wrote them down, because I really want you to go back through those. And just think about them today and throughout this next week as we think so much on Thanksgiving. Let's be thankful, people. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you want to be thankful. Say, God, I thank you that you died for me, that you love me, and I want to give my life to you. That's a good thing to do today. Or maybe you just want to say, God, I've been kind of like the other nine. Haven't been too thankful lately. Forgive me for that, God. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that. I want to be a thankful person. That's who I want to be. And just kind of go over those five things. May would you stand, please, and let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And Lord, I just pray right now that, that will stir in our hearts a sense of gratitude, a sense of thankfulness. Because I'm afraid so many times we're like the other nine. Oh, well, we thank you for your blessing. I mean, we don't thank you. We just enjoy your blessings and we scurry down the road. And we don't come back and say, God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for knowing me and still loving me. For cheering me on. For always being there. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, that we might have forgiveness of sin. Thank you that we can put off the old man and put on the new and walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.